what Jesus is doing on this day. We remember that he marched into Jerusalem. We remember that he rode a donkey and people marched behind him. We all have our own journey to God. And for many of us, maybe for most of us, it begins with baptism. Whether we grew up Baptist and were immersed in a pool in a church somewhere, or whether we were Methodist or Roman Catholic or Episcopal or Presbyterian or Lutheran and we were baptized as infants, there have been people that have prayed for us and who love God and care about us and want us to come to know God personally and for ourselves. And so this morning we begin with a time recognizing that all of us fall short of God's glory. All of us make mistakes. All of us stumble. And so let's begin with a time of silence. If we need to admit and confess sin, there's that opportunity. If we need to ask for God's help for where we are, there's that opportunity. But let's begin here early in the service with a time of silence to be still and quiet before God. Let us pray. Loving God, we come here this day at the very beginning of a special week, a holy week for many in the church. We come because we know we need your help to live. Not a one of us here have lived perfectly, and we would ask that where we have dishonored what each of us believe is true and real, where we have dishonored what we know you hold as right and good, where we have dishonored our neighbor and our family, whatever it is we have done that is wrong, forgive us and create in us clean new hearts that we might begin again to be the people you want us to be. We ask that this time would be alive with your presence and your grace and your forgiveness. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we remember that if we confess our sins, John wrote this in his letter at the end of the New Testament, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Dear friends, believe the good news that in Jesus' name we are forgiven our sin. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all. And I would invite you to stand, if you will, and extend a hand and remind someone God loves you. God loves you, John. He does indeed. presence of one another, our needs and concerns. And so I stand here. Am I on?
Oh, you need to call it.
I think maybe your battery. Hear me now. You can't hear me now. The green light is on.
That means go.
And so in the meantime, we'll be putting batteries in here. So forgive me, but I'll be writing. Let's start with Jana.
Get praise that Brittany fell with mom. My niece is here with us. And prayers that she can continue
to do well. We're always glad to have Brittany and Isabella with us. Great to see you. Amanda.
I have two praises. One is that Brittany Cox had a big team event and had a lot of team members from around the country come in town, and it went wonderful. She's recovering from having, I believe, 4 or 5 house guests this weekend. But one of our good friends and team members, Kathy, is from Florida, and she's not flying out till later, so I was able to ask if she wanted to come, and she didn't have to have her arm twisted or anything, so she was happy to join us. But I think the Easter egg hunt sold it.
Thank you.
come to you praising your name and praising your love and care. We are regularly reminded that your steadfast love endures forever. And we're not worthy of it, but we're grateful for it. We would not be the people we are without your love and grace and acceptance. You claim us in baptism. You remind us that before one another we are precious children of God, and that you love us, and we love you, each of us in our own way. Lord, hear our praise. Hear our thanksgiving. There are some very dark and difficult situations that we brought to you, and where that is happening, we pray specifically, just as we explained, that you would work for good through people that we know and love and through others. And we thank you for law enforcement and for their courage and for the work they do in the world. Give them guidance and wisdom in knowing what is appropriate to do and right, direct their steps. We pray for these who are in an ongoing place of the need for healing and encouragement. And we pray for them by name and pray that you would hear our prayers, hear that we're calling out to you on their behalf. We come before you and ask that you would make these people whole as you desire them to be. For the very special number of people that are with us this day, for family and friends and dear ones, we're grateful for their lives. We're grateful for the home from which they've come. We're grateful for who they are. And we pray that their experience with us would be one of being reminded that, indeed, we are all your precious children, and you desire to work in our lives for good. Now, guide us as we gather here in this day for worship. Guide us, Lord, that we may be aware of this amazing movement through this week. We pray your anointing and your blessing on this, our praise band, that we will hear the music that they sing and hear the message that they share and listen to them and engage with them in the praise of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So on this day, on this Palm Sunday day, with the needs and concerns and the praises and the thanksgiving, with the prayers that we brought before you, hear us now as we pray as our Savior and Lord has called us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not let us fall into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
On this Palm Sunday, we turn to this important, familiar story, and we turn to the Word of God. This morning, we're reading the Gospel lesson, Luke chapter 19, verses 29 to 40. When Jesus had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' And then they brought it to Jesus. And after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the ground. And as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." And Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." This is the word of the Lord. I want you here to take a look at this picture on the screen, to look into the face of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. He hears the disciples praising him. He feels the donkey moving underneath him. He knows this city as well as any Pharisee who call out to him. But look at his expression. Look at his face. He's solemn because he comes here for a purpose. He comes to give himself to the will of Almighty God, his Father. He comes with conviction and guidance that has come from talking to Moses and Elijah, of all people, back on the Mount of Transfiguration a number of chapters and months before. And from the days of his early childhood, you remember the Christmas story. We were here together. We read from Luke 2. How all these things happened, and Luke remembers, and Mary pondered these things and treasured them in her heart. I'm sure, just like your mothers have told you little stories, you've had little conversations with your mother. Mary had little conversations with her son, and she told him the things that happened. And they were aware of these things in a way that mothers and sons particularly know. And he and she knew that someday their little conversations would have eternal significance. Well, here it begins. Now he was riding into his destiny. Now let me say very clearly, Jesus is not a victim here. Do not ever say that this Jesus is a victim. Yes, the religious leaders are threatened by the rapt attention of those who are around him. Look at them in this scene. Yes, the leaders of Jerusalem are threatened by the ability Jesus has to soothe and comfort and touch those who need healing. Yes, they worry that their power and their religion will be completely reinvented. Jesus wanted to do that. He wanted to turn the whole thing upside down. Indeed, he did. And you and I are here because of it. In the face of all he knows, Jesus understands what he's doing. He understands that this is the will of his heavenly Father. Now, some of the people in this scene, and you can see it on the people around Jesus, look at the faces of some of these worshipers. They reflect the seriousness of the moment. And it is for many a kind of celebration, not for everybody, but for some. Look at this little guy right in front holding his hands up. He's got to get out of the way of this donkey or he's going to be run over. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. It's a quote from Psalm 118. And some realize this is an important moment, but likely none of them had any idea about what was to take place. I don't believe any of them knew. This morning, our praise band takes us through, I think, this whole incredible week that we call Holy Week. And today we gather as pilgrims, we gather as believers, as followers, as disciples of Jesus, as onlookers, as interested people. And in different ways, we are here waving our palm branches. So let us pause and let our praise singers walk us musically through the events that we remember. But do not forget this moment, and do not forget this entry into Jerusalem, because this is a portrait of the courageous Savior.